Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers being broadcast on beautiful BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. And this is your host, Allison, and I thank you ever so much for tuning into my show this evening. I'm happy that you're here. So let me ask you, have you ever had a strange feeling that someone was watching you but no one else was home? Have you ever felt like someone touched you in the middle of the night but again, no one was there? Do objects seem to be misplaced a lot in your home? Do you have electrical malfunctions once in a while? Do your pets seem to act strangely from time to time, barking at something that's unseen? Well, you may just have an earthbound spirit that has taken up residence in your home. Whether you're just wondering if you have a spirit or you know that you do, and you want to know what to do about it, I have just the lady for you to talk to. Because my guest this evening is Mary Ann Winkowski, the author of When Ghosts Speak. And let me tell you a little bit about her. Mary Ann was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and has been communicating with earthbound spirits for most of her life. Her earliest communicating with earthbound spirits, she has memories of talking to the deceased as if they're living people, and she also has helped cross these entities over into the white light. Over the course of her work as a paranormal investigator, Mary Ann's reputation has spread. She is a consultant to the CBS hit television show Ghost Whisperer and is often called the real Ghost Whisperer. She has appeared on numerous television and radio shows and has spoken at countless lectures. She still lives and works primarily in the Cleveland area. She has offered her abilities to those in need as far away as New Mexico, St. Lucia, and Scotland. Her book, When Ghosts Speak, Understanding the World of Earthbound Spirits, in that book she shares a lifetime worth of information about the spirit world and reveals often surprising interactions with some very memorable ghosts. Mary Ann shows the human side of the paranormal, stories about ghosts told from the perspective of the ghosts themselves, and teaches us how we can coexist peacefully with the spirits that surround us. Her newest books are The Ice Cradle and The Book of Illumination. Her website is www.maryannwinkowski.com, and that's W-I-N-K-O-W-S-K-I. You can link to her website right from the Visible by Numbers page on BBS Radio. But why don't you hop on over there and check it out while you're listening to the show? Because right now I give you Mary Ann Winkowski. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi. Are you out of breath?
No. Could be. Well,
oh,
such a pleasure to have you here. And I just wanted everyone to know, I mean, I don't think you need much of an introduction, but, you know, I wanted everyone, maybe there is one or two people out there that don't know who you are, so I wanted to give you a little bit of an introduction. So.
Oh, you're kind. Thank you.
Well, you know, everyone is very familiar with your book, When Ghosts Speak. As a matter of fact, I received a lot of emails, a lot of buzz today, people very excited that you were coming on the show. But I want you to take a few minutes here and talk about these new books, The Ice Cradle and The Book of Illumination. Mm-hmm. These are different type of books, but yet they're still kind of bordering in the area of the paranormal. Why don't you tell everybody about them?
Okie doke. When Ghosts Speak is nonfiction, and my agent asked if I'd like to try writing a fiction series, and I thought, gosh, I complain all the time about shows being over the top and not being real, and I thought, but it might be fun to actually write a book where it is a little over the top,
mm-hmm.
But it didn't work.
It didn't work?
It didn't work, no, because fiction is very hard to write. And it dawned on me as I'm trying to write these books that you still have to have knowledge of what you're writing about.
Sure.
And so both of the books, the first book is The Book of Illumination, and that was with monks that were ghosts that were attached to an old manuscript. That's actually a true story. And we just made, you know, just did a like a spin off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the book of and the Ice Cradle is actually takes place on Block Island, right outside the coast of Rhode Island. And I actually ran across ghosts that went down in a ship up there.
Wow.
So they're sort of fiction, half fiction.
They're kind of fiction, but not so much fiction. So,
right.
So that would be a fun book for someone to read that's interested, that kind of likes a nice story, but it also kind of knowing that it's a little bit based in fact. So.
Right.
Yeah,
and the characters are from the first book to the second, the whole mm-hmm. series is going to have the same gal going through it with her same little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a nice, it'll be, you know, a continuing series.
Wow. Well, maybe a continuing series in a much bigger way, too, you know.
Well, you know, people talk. What kind of, I don't know. I don't know. It's like when it happens, if it happens, it happens.
Okay. Well, I just want to let everybody know that, yes, if you've not read When Ghosts Speak, by all means, if you're interested in the paranormal, if you're interested in spirits, if you're interested in any of that, I read a lot of books, and I have to read a lot of books just being, you know, on the radio and interviewing people that wrote books, but I really, honestly, truly enjoyed this book. It was so much fun, so informative, very interesting, loved it. But all three of your books are available on your website, but they're also available at bookstores and Amazon.com. So
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So
everywhere, right.
Just put it in a search on Google, and you'll find out where to order them. But we're going to focus on When Ghosts Speak tonight, and, you know, I guess one of the big questions is, and it was answered in your book, like, why, what would possess the spirit to stay behind and not cross over in the first place?
Okay, you have free will when you're alive, you actually have free will when you're dead also, and there's all kinds of reasons why people choose not to go into the light. Say a young mother steps off of a curb and she's got a brand new baby at home and a 3-year-old. She's not going to leave her kids.
Right.
Say somebody's murdered. They are not going to go until they tell somebody who killed them.
Right.
A 17-year-old kid, drunk, high, wraps his car around a tree. There he is standing at the foot of his casket because everybody does attend their funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thinking, I don't want to be dead. I'm not going into that light. I'm staying here.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't cross over. People can be attached to properties. People can be attached to their personal items. You can go to a tag sale, an estate sale, a garage sale, and pick up a cake plate for 50 cents and brought home a nice, sweet old lady with you. That was the best buy of the day. So there's all kinds of reasons why people don't cross over.
Now, just to go take it back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
ever since you were little, mm-hmm. you were able to see earthbound spirits. And your grandmother actually knew this about you and actually kind of mentored it or encouraged
mm-hmm.
this in you. And I think
right.
what was really fascinating in the book was part of the book you were talking about the fact that you cannot see ghosts that have, spirits that have crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
You might know that they're there because of various different reasons, but you cannot see them. Only the ones that remained on the earth, which that is fascinating in itself. So it's interesting how you write your childhood as it being somewhat of a normal, everyday sort of a thing. It was part of your family. It was part of, you know, and I think this is really fascinating. So what was it like growing up being you?
I didn't think it was any different than anybody else, to be honest with you. The thing is this, all children can see spirits. My grandmother thought that I was special, but she didn't realize how many times you hear mothers say, oh, she has such a wonderful imagination. She plays in her room for hours and has tea parties with her teddy bears. Oh, baloney. That kid's seeing somebody.
Right.
And we are smarter now. We realize now that our children do have these abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, years ago, oh, don't talk like that. Everyone's going to laugh at you. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get mom and dad in trouble. You can't talk like that. Everything was hush-hush. You couldn't talk about it.
Right, true.
And so I was 7 years old in Catholic school with nuns still in full garb back then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
I've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
And the uniform.
Oh, yeah. And it was then that I realized nobody else could do it. I just thought everybody could do it. Why would I think anything different?
Sure, sure.
And the nuns, I have officially call her Sister Mary Altarcloth now, but she just made sure that I realized that nobody else could do it. And when I went home and talked to my grandmother, and she said, oh, you have to be quiet, you can't tell anybody.
Right.
My
right.
gosh, I was married to my husband for 2 years before I told him I could do this.
Yeah, that must have been a big surprise.
Yeah, the first thing he said, okay, I'm ready, wiggle your nose. I said, wiggle my nose? Bewitched was on at the time.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, he thought, I went, no.
No, dear.
No, you have to go to work in the morning. Sorry.
Well, one of the things that you talk about in your book that's really interesting is you talk about what places have the most spirits, how do you attract earthbound spirits to you, and how does having one around you affect you? Well, let me ask you, I mean, you see them, so does that make you a little bit of a beacon for them to go, oh, my God, she can see me, I think I'll follow her home?
No, because if I don't stare at them or look at them or wink at them or start talking to them, they don't know I can see them.
Oh, they don't know you can. So you don't really kind of, yeah.
So I just sort of do my thing. And I don't,
it's
my
not something you turn on or off. You just do
no.
it. You just see it no matter what.
That's right. It's just
it's unavoidable.
And I've got a rule. You know, there wasn't a rule book out there for me. I had to make my own rules up as I went along. And one of my rules is that if you don't ask me, I don't tell you. I had a sister that had a ghost in her house for 3 years, and I never told her she had it in the house because she never asked. So I never told her.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah,
All right. All right. Well, just so we are perfectly clear that as we continue on with our conversation, if you feel that I have a ghost, feel free to tell me, okay, just so you know, okay?
Okay, I've got carte blanche. Gotcha.
All right, you have carte blanche to tell me.
Right.
Now, having an earthbound spirit has an effect on people. Now, is this all the time that they have effect, or sometimes can they be, like, kind of coexisting with you without affecting you?
People that choose to stay earthbound and not go into the light, they don't eat or sleep. They need human energy to keep going.
Really?
Right. It's not, and they don't use electric. It's like, oh, great, there's a plug. Stick your finger in the plug. They don't use that. They disrupt electric, but what they need is human energy. So if you're a single person living by yourself and you just have one ghost that was just a sweet old lady when she was alive, you may not ever be aware that you've got anybody with you. But if you've got a house full of kids and you have a husband that works in an emergency room in a hospital or he's a lawyer, chances are you probably do have something in your house. But there are signs. There are symptoms if you've got a ghost in your house.
Right. Okay. So to be clear, there are certain professions that certainly could kind of fill your house up on earthbound spirits. And also, once they're there, there are certain symptoms where you can tell that you have one. So if you don't mind, take a moment and tell everybody, how would you know that you had an earthbound spirit around?
Okay. Well, let's go with the energy drain. You're tired all the time. You can sleep a good 8 solid hours and you still wake up in the morning exhausted. Adults are going to have unexplained headaches when you're home, maybe lower intestinal problems. You actually feel better when you're not at home. If you have children under the age of 10, 11, they're constantly going to have ear, nose, throat, upper respiratory problems. They are not going to stay in their bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. They're going to come in bed with you. Now, as far as moving things, the things that they seem to really gear themselves to are keys, paperwork, bills, money, jewelry, remote controls, things that you know you laid it right there on the end table. You go back 5 minutes later and it's gone, and you look all over, and then you go back there a half hour later, there it is. So now you're cracking up, right?
Right.
So these are the things that they move. They can disrupt any kind of electric, cell phones. If they're standing next to your television set, your TV is going to go staticky for no good reason. And what's the first thing out of our mouths? Oh, darn that cable. Uh-huh. Why would anybody say, darn that ghost? We don't talk like that.
Right, right.
Computers. Mm-hmm. Oh, what they can't do to a computer.
Sure.
I mean, they can. Printers, fax machines.
Sure.
If they're standing close to anything like that. If they're riding with you in your car, the electronics in your car can go, too, where the little dinger won't turn off on the seatbelt, or maybe the radio keeps switching stations.
Huh.
The starter is always gone. And if you've got a male ghost in your house, and nothing against any of your male listeners, but ghosts tend to do the same thing that they did when they were alive.
They leave the toilet seats up?
Yeah, that they do too in flush, but the other thing that they do is that they always mess with plumbing and furnaces and air conditioners and heating.
Ah.
So these are things that they will try to, you know, put out of whack. And why do they do that? Because it costs you money, which stresses you out and aggravates you. Look at the energy you're putting out that they're sucking right up on.
Okay. So that makes a lot of sense, okay, because I want to take you to some of the ghost shows that are on television now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you've got a whole bunch of people running around and screaming, you know, doing all this paranormal investigation, that's a lot of energy to draw off of. Would that be safe to say?
No.
Well, let's say you're running around and you're frightened and you're scared. And you're anticipating, and your energy's running high if you're doing a paranormal investigation and you're not necessarily mature about it or whatever. It seems to me that that gives energy to the ghosts that are hanging around there. But you also pointed out in your book, like, movie theaters, bars, any place where...
Stadiums, malls.
So when you go to the mall, do you see, like...
Oh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Theaters, everywhere. And it's funny because if you go, and I speak at a lot of college campuses, and the one building that every campus always complains about being haunted is the theater.
Isn't that strange? You know, it's really weird, but I hate to say this, but I hate going to the theater. I would much rather rent a movie and watch it at home than sit in a theater. I don't know why, I just hate being in the theater, so maybe that explains that.
It's crazy. Cleveland, which is where I'm at, is known. We have five beautiful theaters down here. We're the second city after New York to have that many theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband and I were there, and we were seeing, there was a ballet called Blue Suede Shoes. It was Elvis Presley ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were there, and all the costumes for the show were done by Bob Mackie. So you can imagine how risque they were.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was like Cher's person that did all her costume.
Oh, yeah.
And so Ted and my husband and I are sitting there, and we're watching the performance, and there were two ghosts standing in the aisle next to me. And the one goes, oh, my God, I could stand my toes a lot longer than that. These two ghosts are critiquing the ballet. And the other one goes, well, those costumes is disgusting. You know, I just had to laugh. It's like, oh, my gosh, even when you're dead, you're a critic. You know? We went to see in Toronto, Phantom of the Opera.
Uh-huh.
If the Phantom knew there was a ghost with him the whole performance, I wonder what he'd do.
Oh, my God. But you're not going to tell him unless he asks, right?
That's right. Nobody. Well, yeah, I was just one of the crowd. No big deal.
Okay. Well, I want to let our listeners know that Marianne has so generously agreed to take calls from our listeners. And, you know, even while you're talking, if you've got a question, maybe something that's occurring in your home, a question about earthbound spirits, or anything along those lines, Marianne would be more than happy to answer your question. 25 years of experience as a paranormal investigator. I mean, this is a lady to go to with your questions. But also, here's the interesting part. If you have an earthbound spirit, Marianne can tell from speaking to you on the phone whether or not you do. However, I'm just going to tell everybody, don't call in on a cell phone. Call in on a landline. And if you call in on a landline, Marianne can actually, you know, be able to tell you that. So how interesting is that? Let me give out the numbers here. You can call in toll-free on 888-815-9756. You can also call in at 450-413-4510, and 530-413-4522. And Seth told us at the beginning of the show we did have Molly on the line. So, Seth, I don't know if you're listening, but you can put Molly through. But we will be taking your call. So I think that'll be make for something a little bit interesting. Let me see if Molly's on. Molly, are you on?
Hi there. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead. Go for it.
Hi, Marianne. Hi, Allison. How are you guys?
Great.
So what's going on in your house?
I'm actually in my barn that has quite a bit of activity in it, and I'm actually sitting here right now, and I was wondering if you could give me any insight as to who or what might be hanging out in here. The other day I heard someone say hello to me, and then also I've gotten numerous photographs and video of
okay.
some activity.
All right. There is actually a male spirit in the barn. Now, let me ask you this. This barn is newer, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, but you still have an older barn very close to, don't you, or an older building?
Not on my property, no.
How close is it? You can see it from your barn?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. This, you have a neighborhood ghost. He comes into your barn. When there are any people out there, he's going to run over and see what's going on. But when nobody is around, he will definitely go over to wherever that property is that has the other barn on it. So he's sort of like a neighborhood ghost. Have you had a lot of trouble with your well?
I have not. No, I don't have a well. I actually haul water.
Okay, there's some kind of a septic well something that he's been messing with. So, again, maybe it's not on your property, but he's definitely turn of the century. I'd say he's probably been dead from the way he's dressed, maybe the 1920s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he's been around for a while.
Huh. Okay.
So you're definitely not alone. You have good instincts. Somebody's definitely there with you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. I've
you're
enjoyed
welcome.
The conversation, and thank you for coming on Allison's show.
Oh, I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Thanks,
okay.
Molly. All right.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so again, if anyone's listening to the show and they want to call into the show and see, let Marianne tap in and see if you've got a spirit hanging out with you. Again, you can call in toll-free at 888-815-9756, 530-413-4512, 530-413-4522. And, geez, Mary Ann, I'm going to put you right back to work because
okay.
we have another caller. So who's calling, please?
Is that me, Allison?
Sure is.
It's Glenda.
Hi, Glenda.
I had something happen to me a while back, and I was wondering if... Marianne could answer if I was correct on it or no.
What happened?
My beautician is also my assistant to do psychic medium readings. And I was going to an event, and she was doing my hair. And my assistant, it's a very bubbly person. And she's doing my hair, and while I was waiting for the hair dye to get done, all of a sudden she bust out crying. And she said, Glenda, do you see somebody with me? And I started just grabbing a woman, and I felt really odd because her energy wasn't like over in the light. And then I described the details of her passing. Well, come to find out, the lady had just shot herself the week before.
Mm.
And she was putting my bubbly assistant was all crying like, how could she do this to her kids? What I explained to my assistant was, she is telling you this. This is not your thoughts. And I asked Spirit to please back away, and she finished doing my hair. And after walking my assistant through this, that these were not her thoughts, the lady was trying to communicate to her, and I felt the lady had not crossed over. When I got home and I got on a the computer to talk to one of my online teachers, I felt her standing behind me, and I explained to her she could not help her family on this side. I'm wondering, was that my imagination, or did I have it correct?
No, you're probably right. Suicides are one of the group of people that have a very hard time crossing over. Actually, for anybody that's Catholic, up until 10 years ago, that was an automatic mortal sin. You couldn't even be, you know, buried in a Catholic cemetery. And, of course, the church has changed its mind on that now. But a lot of times, people that commit suicide do not cross over. Now, I sort of got an idea because your beautician was such an bubbly, very, you know, high-energy person. This could be why this spirit gravitated toward her, because of her high energy. Plus, beauty shops also usually have a lot of spirits in. Women are having a good time. It's a stressful job. It's a lot of activity going on. So beauty shops actually have, you know, a lot of earthbound spirits in it too. But no, you did the right thing. The only thing that I would normally tell people not to do is to talk to them, because when you talk to them, you are actually giving them more energy. But in this situation, she had died so recently that it really didn't make any difference. And here's another good hint, too, that people should know. If you dream of anybody that has died, they are where they're supposed to be. Earthbound spirits can't get in dreams.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's interesting, and I thank you. Is there anything that you could suggest to me if to better tell an earthbound spirit, I mean, versus one that's crossed over?
No, I think you have to go trust yourself. If you felt, you said you felt that the energy from her was not good, if it was somebody from the light, then you would feel a comfort, you would feel happy, you wouldn't feel anxious, you would
feel,
you know, a nice, warm, toasty feeling. You wouldn't have that hair on the back of your neck standing up going, uh-oh, what
and
is this?
And it did. It basically mm-hmm. did. It was like my smile just drained. It was like, but I didn't want to show fear either. I didn't want to
No, because that gives
them
more energy, right.
Right.
And I want to thank you, Mary Ann. Thank
You're
you,
welcome.
Allison, because that plagued me for about a year or so.
Mm.
So
okay,
thank
Glenda.
You very
well, thanks
much.
For calling in. Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, what's really interesting, Mary Ann, is my sister moved into a home, and the woman that lived there had recently died. Mm-hmm. And she was a very elderly woman that lived there alone. And once she moved into the home, like, I remember walking into it, and I just felt like, ugh, it just felt so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm a big proponent of feng shui and shifting the energy of a house and smudging houses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't so much. And what was really interesting is she started to have some paranormal experiences in the house. And I kind of asked a friend of mine that was a medium, could you just, like, check to see if there, you know, maybe there's something around her. Well, the morning that this medium called her, she got up in the morning and she had all these other plans, but all of a sudden she stopped everything and she started rearranging all of her cupboards in the kitchen, mm-hmm. all of them. And what the medium said was, when she called, she says, you've got a spirit that's living in the house with you. And she didn't like the way you did your kitchen cupboards. It wasn't the way she had them.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, have you recently changed your kitchen cupboards?
Right.
And here my sister had just totally redone her kitchen cupboards. Now, so the question is, if you have an earthbound spirit that's in your house, maybe
mm-hmm.
they're attached to the house,
mm-hmm.
can they actually blend with your energy and influence you to maybe do?
They can influence you. Yes, they can.
Mm-hmm.
They
okay.
can't get in you or possess you or anything like that. But if they are right in your space,
mm-hmm.
then you can start picking up some of their likes, some of their dislikes, that kind of thing. Absolutely.
Okay, so that explains that you're putting the cupboard back in a different way. Okay, that
right.
was really right. Okay, now, how does one, here's a good question. How do you protect yourself? Let's say you're a very bubbly person, you got a really strong personality. Even in my case, I'm a numerologist, so I do readings all the time for people.
Mm-hmm.
I go to events.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going out to the mall, going to a nursing home, going to a hospital, going to a theater, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. how do I protect myself from bringing home some company?
Okay, there's a couple of things that you can do. I believe in the white light, putting white light around yourself, protecting yourself with that. But people that aren't visual, and if you're somebody that works in a hospital or you're somebody that visits nursing homes often, what you want to do is take sea salt. And two things with sea salt. You can put it in a plant mister and sort of mist yourself as you're walking out the door. Just a couple squirts and walk through it. That will, you know, earthbound spirits are not, they don't like sea salt. And so about 65% of the time. And that's another thing, people that are antique collectors, garage sale people, take and carry sea salt in the back seat of your car. Anything that you buy that's used, sprinkle a little bit of sea salt on the item, and about, again, 65, 70% of the time, if somebody's attached to that item, it'll knock them off. And it doesn't have to look like a beach. A little bit will go a long way.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
That's a great suggestion.
And another thing, if you think that you get that the house is heavy or that it's feeling like you have a crowd in the house and you're the only one home, smudge the house.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet grass, sage, definitely. Native American Indians knew what they were doing with the sage. It does make a difference.
Right, and then what's it? You know, one thing I always say to somebody is, you don't have to believe in it. You know,
just
like a lot of people, you don't have to believe in it. What does it hurt to try? What does
That's
it hurt
right.
to do it?
That's
I mean, what's
exactly.
a little sea salt? It's not gonna kill you.
Nope, it sure isn't.
And also, I know myself that I'm really drawn to taking sea salt baths. So quite often, I'll take a sea salt bath just because I feel, oh, I really need to get rid of some of this stuff. So.
And really, bath salts that you buy, all fancy ones, that's exactly what's in them. Sea salt.
Sure. There you go. All right.
Yep.
Well, listen, Marianne, I'm pretty sure we heard another beep, so we have another caller. So let's get right to the caller. Who's calling, please?
Hi.
Hello?
Good evening.
Hi. Who are you?
Hi. My name is Helen, and Allison, it's good to talk to you. I've been to your numerology seminars, and I find them absolutely fascinating.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
But my question this evening is, I have been experiencing for probably the past year, when I'm asleep at night, I have a feeling that someone is standing over my bed. And I find myself so afraid that I will wake up in a sweat. And there's times when I have actually like screamed out in my sleep. Because I feel and I can almost see this person like reaching over the bed, and I would just do anything for a good night's sleep at this point. I don't know what this is about, or who it could be, but
could you
extremely frightening to me.
Do you live in a single house or do you live in an apartment?
I live in a four-family condominium building.
Okay. This is what you've got going on. People that live in an apartment building or condos, any kind of a situation where you have more than one family living under a common roof, it's like a smorgasbord for a ghost. Nothing's going on in your place, so they'll go next door. Nothing's going on next door, so they'll go upstairs, they'll go downstairs. You are 100% correct. You do have, and it is a man. I don't know if you sense that or not, but it's definitely a man.
I feel as though it is a man.
Yeah, and he does come into your place, and he is. He's how easy it to be a peeper when you're invisible. You know what I'm saying?
I want him to not come in.
Okay, what you need to do is get that sea salt and put a little threshold, put it over the threshold of your doorway.
Okay.
Again, I don't know if you've got carpeting there, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, okay, put it down there. Just put it over on the carpeting. Don't put a lot there, just put a little bit there. The other thing that you can do is put a circle of it around your bed. That will actually give you some protection. The other thing that I would really suggest is if you are affiliated with any kind of organized religion, Have your priest or minister come out and bless the house. That will make a difference, too.
Okay.
Can she sage as well?
And she can smudge, absolutely. I would definitely smudge the week working up to a full moon if you're going to do it on a regular basis. They have more energy that week working up to the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the week that I would do it.
Okay. Well, okay. I'll try it because anything for a night's sleep at this point.
Right. Wow. Right.
Circle that Cecil around your bed, sweetheart. Get a good night's sleep. Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, honey. Good luck with that, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Wow. That would be...
Yeah, that's pretty scary when you get that I'm being watched feeling and you wake up that afraid. It's not a good feeling.
Right. It's not a good feeling. As opposed to, I think sometimes, like, with spirits that have crossed over, like, I'm pretty sure that animal spirits, and that was one thing I was going to ask you about.
Oh, absolutely.
But I know that we have our dog, Gus, visits us from time to time because I can feel almost like somebody just jumped on the bed, but there's no dog, you know, and I know he just jumped on the bed, and I feel him, and I'm like, how cool is that? Yeah.
And they can cross over, and they can come back and visit, too. Anybody that crosses over can come back and forth for a visit. They just don't cause any problems.
They don't cause any problems. Now,
you usually can tell when they're around because you'll get either a cologne smell or a scent that reminds you of them.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And that's usually an indication that they're visiting.
Right, and also what you pointed out earlier as well, that people that have crossed over will come to you in dreams. Earthbound spirits can't.
Mm-mm.
So
right.
So if you've got a loved one, like a father, mother, sister, brother, whatever the case may be that's crossed over, and you feel them in a dream, you know that they're crossed over. Also, there may be times when you might sense them around you, smell or a memory of them, or where that you just kind of sense them, that's them crossed over. It's not an earthbound.
They don't miss anniversaries, birthdays, holidays, weddings. They are there for all of that.
Sure.
When you take pictures and you get pictures of orbs, orbs you want in pictures. Jason and the plumbers, guys, they're just, and I actually told Jason, so it's not like I'm talking out of turn here.
Uh-huh.
They did such a disservice by telling everybody, oh, my gosh, look, all the ghosts because of the orbs. No. Orbs are terrific. You want them in pictures. If there's a design in the middle, that for sure is a spirit that has crossed over and is back for a visit.
Mm-hmm.
They can be sparkly colored. Now, if you've got an orb that's blank in the middle with nothing in it, it's a dust particle. It's nothing.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense, too. I remember this was really a kind of an interesting thing that happened to me. I was talking to a woman on the phone. Her son had crossed over. Well, not crossed over. He had died. It was sudden tragic death. And she was having a difficult time with it. So, you know, it was one of those people I was just, you know, trying to help through conversation. And she had had her hair done, changed, a whole entire cut. And I said, why don't you send me a picture of that? I'd love to see it. She sent me the picture, and she did not. She knew nothing about orbs, nothing. Right on her heart in the picture was a beautiful orb, as you described it.
Mm-hmm.
With detail to it, brightness, with the design within it. And I was able to say, did you look at your picture a little more carefully? Because, you know, I really believe that your son showed up in your picture. And
yep.
So that was really, really nice to be able to tell her that. But listen, enough about that. We have another caller, so let's get right to the caller. Who's calling?
Hi, Allison. It's Linda.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Marianne.
Hi. What's going on in your house?
Different things. I've recently had it cleared. I emailed you about that. I still feel that there's somebody or something here because the cats keep looking down into the basement, and it's getting a little bit more, and I don't know if it's because of Halloween coming up, the thinning of the veil, whatever. It's nothing I feel frightening, but I know the cats see something.
Well, don't forget, animals are very, very intuitive, and they can see spirits that have crossed over and ones that haven't. Plus the fact that if there was a ghost in the basement that was bothering before the clearing, they're probably still being very cautious and looking down there to make sure it's still cleared.
Okay.
So the
now
house
you're talking
feels,
about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The house feels totally clear.
Oh,
you're
good,
calling
then.
From your house right now?
Yes.
Yeah, the house is clear. There's nothing there.
Thank you, Carol. Carol did my house clearing for me about 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But she did say that my grandparents are residing in the spare bedroom, and I'm trying to figure out why they
well,
would want to
probably,
stay here.
But maybe they've crossed over and they're just there for visits.
Yeah, let's hope so. They didn't leave on very good terms.
Well, but once you go to the light, I think that all changes.
Right, right.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
you
good.
You just brought up something that I wanted to ask you about, unless it was answered in the book and I totally overlooked it. You explain how to make the light. You explain different ways to entice individuals to go into it if they don't want to go, and some are ready to go. But who closes the light? Does the
you
light
do.
Automatically close after them? Do you have to close the light?
No. Once they finally walk through and you can't see them anymore, the light closes behind them.
How about if I cannot see the ghost at all and I'm making a light but I can't see the light but I feel it?
See, I don't know what to tell you, because if you can't see them, I don't know how you would know if they're in or not.
Okay.
I can't honestly give you an answer to that.
Okay, because I was just trying to figure that out, because with a meetup group, a Philadelphia Psychic Medium group, and one of the ladies there read your book, and she learned how to make the light. And I said, okay, that's really cool. But who closes the light? And that was just the thing. Could they turn around and come back out? Or once they hit the light,
no,
that's it. It's a point of no return.
No, once an earthbound, once the light is made, once, let me back this up. Once I make the light and watch the earthbound spirit walk in and I can't see him anymore, the light will close right behind them.
Okay.
So that's how I do it. Now, you know, no two people butter toast the same way. Everybody's going to do things differently, but that's how it works for me. I feel very sorry for a lot of these paranormal groups, because you go in with the equipment and everything, and I think it's a disservice to you guys, plus the house you're doing, that if somebody in your group can't see them and somebody in your group can't make the white light, you're giving that ghost a lot of energy, and two things are going to happen. One, if they wanted to go and they didn't go, they could give that family a whole lot more problems, or they could follow you home.
Right.
So
you have to be really careful.
Right. That actually happened. I interviewed the guys from Ghost Adventures, and they took our group of 100 people to Bob Mackey's, and they did a paranormal investigation with all their little fans and all these other paranormal people. Almost everybody in the group of 100, when they went home afterwards, had ghost or paranormal experiences happening in their houses to a very strong degree.
Yeah.
So that
not
does
good.
Happen.
That's not good.
No.
It really is not. It's not a good thing.
Right. Well,
now if you can't sage, is just going through and sprinkling salt and saying prayers enough?
Sorry.
Because sage gives me a terrible headache.
Well, this is the thing, though. A ghost, an earthbound spirit, cannot read your mind, all right? But if this family, whose ever house you're doing, is sitting around at supper and they're saying, oh, I can't wait for the paranormal group to come tomorrow. They're going to clear the house. The house is going to be better. And here's this earthbound spirit standing there going, yes, I'm finally leaving. I'm going to get out of here. And then they don't provide them for a way to get out. Like I said, that's... I don't know how to...
And your book said for them to go to a funeral home.
That is one way to do it, yeah. Yeah, you can tell them to go to a local funeral home that has a service going on. But again, if there's not somebody in your group that can actually see the ghost and see that they got the message and that they either said or at least shook their head yes or no, how do you know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Correct. Right.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's a problem that I think a lot of these groups have to work out.
Right, right. So the thing of it is point blank, you can clear a house more or less by using sage, sea salt, having it blessed. Mm-hmm. If you have an earthbound spirit, you can kind of encourage the spirit to find someplace else to take up residence.
Right.
And you can, but as far as crossing over a spirit, you know, that really takes, as you're trying to point out, how can you cross something over that you can't even see?
Right.
How do you know that you actually did it?
Right.
If you can't see the white light that you just created, and if you don't see that spirit going into it, then how do you know that you're doing any good? And that a lot of these paranormal groups go in, they can actually stir up the ghostly activity
right. In
not a positive way. And so that's what you're trying to say. Is that correct?
Right, and that could be a problem. Exactly.
Sure.
If people smudge on a regular basis, what that does is make that earthbound spirit so lethargic that eventually they don't like to feel that way and they will leave. And I have never, ever, ever known a spirit to retaliate from somebody using sage
right.
or smudging. So that does not happen.
Okay.
Just like I have never, ever, 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 ever found a house built on an Indian burial ground.
Okay,
never. Now I put a container of sea salt underneath each radiator in the house, a container of sea salt. And when I put the container of sea salt in there and I bury it away so my cats don't pull it out and get it off, but I say a prayer to bless the room. Is that a good thing?
Well, it's a positive thing, so there's nothing wrong with doing anything positive.
Okay.
Absolutely. That's a good thing.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Linda.
And Allison, it's probably on your list to ask Mary Ann, but quince seeds.
Okay.
So I'm just going to leave it hang right there with you.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Good night, ladies.
All
right. Thank you, Marian.
Bye-bye.
Now, yeah, quince seeds, something rather, I've never, in all the years that I've studied things, I've never seen that.
Right.
So that was something that you brought up in your book, and this is something that actually your family grows and provides the quince seeds.
Right. I get them from relatives in Italy, and this is one of the things that works for me. This is what my grandmother said, once a house is clear and there's nothing there, give them the quince seed to put up over any door that goes directly to the outside.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I do. If I clear a house, I give a person a quince seed.
Mm-hmm.
And, but again, everybody has own little totems or little things that work.
Right.
That's what works for me. That doesn't mean that everybody has to do it.
And the one thing I did get from the book is quince seeds are all fine and dandy, but if you don't know that you've cleared the house, and you put that quince seed up, you actually can, you know, feel
them.
A block of ghosts and keep it there permanently.
And you don't want to go there.
Right. So you really want to, if you're going to use quince seeds,
no,
you want to
have
somebody that's qualified, like Marianne, that actually sees that the ghost has crossed over or whatever, and then put the quince seed up. You don't want to trap a ghost in your house, okay?
No.
That's what I got from the book, okay?
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. We do have another caller, so we don't have that much left on the show. So let's get another caller in. Who's calling, please?
This is Christy.
Hi, Christy. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Good. You got a question for Mary Ann?
I do. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi.
You guys are both such sweethearts. I actually wrote Mary Ann a letter a little while back, and I think she responded to me within a week. I mean, she's such a sweetheart. And I actually wanted to know, I can sense earthbound spirits. Sometimes I see them. Sometimes I can hear them.
Okay.
But I can usually always feel them, and I can usually always feel like the energy of is it a male or a female?
Okay, you
can
usually tell it.
And every once in a while, I get. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said so you can tell from the feeling whether it's a male or a female.
It seems that I can, yes, because I've been around other people where I've said, oh, there's a lady standing in the bathroom, or there's a man in the corner of the room. And, you know, they've kind of looked at me like, well, yeah, you know, and so I'm usually reconfirmed when somebody, you know, when that happens, when I say that's a male spirit or a female spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of wondering, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No, honey, you go ahead. What's your question?
I was wondering if there's any possible way that there's maybe a better way that I can, like, open myself up to communicate with them, because, like I said, I don't always get it the same way every time. Sometimes I see, sometimes I hear. Hearing is a little more rare, but a lot of the times I get stuff in my head,
mm-hmm.
Where I kind of, like, get thoughts and, you know, just kind of get a feeling like, oh, this person committed suicide, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever it is, I kind of get like a, I don't know if it's like telepathic or what it is, but.
Well, I think any gift that you have, and that this goes for anybody, the more you use it, the better you get at it. Only because you learn from experience, which is how I learned, basically. You know, and to be honest with you, I still learn something new every day. You know, I certainly don't know everything. And I think that the biggest mistake that people make that have abilities is that they don't trust their own instincts. They second guess themselves. And I think that's a big mistake. I think if you feel that sure about it, then go with it and trust yourself.
Right.
So I think that's the other thing. And the other thing that I tell people to do seriously is read. Read all you can. You know, there's so many good authors out there that have different ways of doing things. And even my book, read my book, throw out half of it and keep half of it in your head. You know, it works for me. Doesn't mean everything in my book is going to work for you, but maybe some thing out of, you know, one of James's book or John Edwards' books or Sylvia's books, maybe something will work good for you out of one of their books. So I think it's important just to read and get yourself as educated as you can.
Okay. All right, Christy?
Okay. Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I just want to let everybody know, and I want to remind them again, to please visit MaryAnnWinkowski.com, and that's spelled WinkowSki.com. You can find a link to it yourself, or if you just want to go to BBS Radio, go to the Visible by Numbers page. You can link off from there. You can even go to my website, Visible by Numbers. There's a write-up about Mary Ann there, and you can link off from my website. By all means, go to her page, read all about her. You can also find out how to get a hold of her books, When Ghosts Speak, but certainly there's The Ice Cradle and The Book of Illumination, two new novels that she wrote that you might find very interesting. Mary Ann, you got some appearances coming up, right?
I do, yeah.
Where are you going to be?
They're all on my website.
They're all on her website.
Yeah.
Where she's going. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where. My husband says, this is where we're going tonight. It's like, okay, honey.
Okay, well, I go where I'm supposed to go. So,
right.
You're going to be doing some, it looks like you're going to be doing some Halloween haunted sort of things or some, you know, really interesting things on the 29th and the 30th, which I think.
That whole weekend, yeah, between radio and TV and appearances. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I just encourage everybody, if you want to know where Marianne's going to be, by all means, check out our website with the appearances. There's also pictures, there's articles, there's everything you can think of. One of the things that I do want to say, that somebody mm-hmm. that's out there that is skeptical, that's going, yeah, sure, you can see ghosts. But let me tell you that also in the book, there's validations all over the place that the people that, the spirits that Mary Ann were seeing, the earthbound spirits, they validated the stories. There's constant validation throughout the book that really speaks very highly of Mary Ann's ability. So I just want to say, if you're a skeptic, this is a book for you too, because there is a lot of validation in the book. Mary Ann, I can't thank you enough for coming on to the show. I can't thank you enough for sharing your wisdom. I love you because you're so down to earth. You're so practical. You're like the wise old, you know, person that's been doing this forever, and I really look up to you. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much for inviting me. We had some good calls. This is a good radio show.
Well, good. Well, I appreciate it. Come back anytime. Anytime you got something to promote, just contact me. You're always a welcome guest.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
All right, everyone. So thanks so much for joining us. Thank you to everyone that called into the show. I hope you got some insight. I just want to remind everybody that next week we have Chuck Bergman, the psychic cop, the psychic medium. He's on the James Von Prague resource page, very renowned medium. He's going to be on the show next week. We're going to be doing some ghost stories. We're also going to be talking about mediumship. So make sure you write that down and tune in next week. So, again, thanks to Marianne. Thank you, everyone. You all have a wonderful night. And in the meantime, I wish you all abundant blessings. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.